French filmmaker Louis Malle moved to the United States 10 years ago. Here he made the films Pretty Baby, Atlantic City, My Dinner with André, Crackers, and Alamo Bay. He returned to France to make his latest film, Au revoir les enfants, or Goodbye Children. It received 2 Academy Award nominations last year. Now it's about to come out on home video. Like Malle's earlier film, La Comme Lucienne, Au revoir les enfants is set in occupied France during World War II. The screenplay is inspired by what Malle describes as the most tragic memory of his childhood. In 1944, Malle's parents sent him away from Paris to a Catholic boarding school in the countryside, where they thought he'd be protected from the war. But the school was helpless when one morning the Gestapo came looking for the Jewish students whom the priests had offered sanctuary. In the notes to the film, Malle wrote, "That morning of 1944 changed my life. It may have triggered my becoming a filmmaker." I asked him to explain.
You know, it's a little difficult for me to say that and be completely sure, but it has been such a traumatic event at the age of 11 for me, and they're suddenly exposed to violence and their intolerance and, this brutality, the shock that it was for me to see those German soldiers enter our classroom and arrest one of the, one of the boys who happened to be my friend. I think it has really, long after, well, until now, as a matter of fact, but in the following years, I've been, as I was growing up, I've been trying to understand, and of course, there's nothing to understand. It's just impossible. So what happened is, I suppose what it sort of developed in me is a sort of real tenacious curiosity about trying to find out what was going on in the world outside, and I know my reaction in the following years was a reaction of anger. I couldn't understand. Of course, it was completely unacceptable. I started becoming very rebellious and very cautious about everything I heard from, the adults and teachers and my parents, and would try to convince me that was right or was true. And I wanted to find out for myself. And I think that really has triggered my urge to become a filmmaker. I thought making film was a way to try to find out about what was going on around, outside.
Your new movie is based on your childhood experience in a Catholic boarding school during the war. Did something in your life happen now that intensified those memories or that made them especially timely for you now?
Well, it took all those years, and it's just that I suppose the fact that I've been living and working in the U.S. for the last 10 years, because I was far from my roots, and also simply because, I got older, a lot of things of my past, and especially of my childhood, and especially everything around this event of my childhood, the arrestation of my friend Bonnet, and his being deported to Germany, a lot of it came back, and it became a little obsessive, very obsessive. And so it seemed like I had no choice. The same way for years I was scared to deal with it, and I was not ready. Then at some point I felt, well, the time has come. I must cope with it. I must try to write a screenplay, and if the screenplay seems to work, I should make a film.
Maybe there are advantages to waiting that long and having a certain emotional distance from the event?
Yes, there are several advantages, I suppose. I could have made that film when I was 25, my first feature. But since I didn't do it and didn't want to do it then, I suppose it was much better for me to wait, because first, I think I was a little more on top of it as a filmmaker, and I was more in control of the medium, and I always felt I should wait because I wanted to be really completely, trying to make the best film as I could. And it seemed to me that time was working my way. And I think it was the right time for me to do it before I die, before I become Gaga or whatever. But I thought it was really the right moment. And of course, emotionally, living with this memory all these years, it's not, memory is not dead. It's very much alive. It moves all the time. Things happen. You look at it differently when you get older.
We all know your memory from the movie that we see. But could I ask you to describe what it was like for you in real life the day the Nazis came into your school and took away one of your friends?
Well, what I can say is, what I remember very well is it was an incredible shock. And I remember that for minutes it seemed like, I don't know, like a bad dream. It didn't seem that it was possible. It seems like it was almost like in slow motion. It was something happening that not only myself, but the other boys in the classroom, we couldn't even comprehend what was going on. And then when they told us the school was closed, we had to pack, and we would have to line up in the courtyard, and we saw our friends taken away by the Germans. It seemed like, it was an incredible shock. It's probably especially for me because of my friendship with Bunny, but for instance, my older brother, who was in a different grade, and there was none of the children was the Jewish children were in his grade, but still for him it was also something that he's going to remember until he dies.
My guest is director Louis Malle, and he wrote and directed the new film Au revoir les enfants. You work with child actors in this movie, children of, I guess, like 10 to 13 or something around there?
Yes.
I understand that you don't like to use professional child actors. Why is that?
Well, it's almost for practical reasons, because there's not too many child actors around anyway, at least in France, and the one I interviewed were not really actors. You know, how could you really learn your craft when you're that young and still going to school? And at the same time, I'm always when I deal with child actors, I always realize that they might have lost something. They might have lost their innocence, and they're not really children anymore. So for me, it was a lot simpler to start from scratch, and to find great children who'd never seen a movie camera before, and to find them, to work with them, finally to choose them, and to trust them with playing the characters. It's a very long process, and it takes a certain amount of tenacity and instinct and experience. But I've done that before, because I've made lots of films with children, and it's always been very rewarding, because I've been able to find most of the time, especially with Au revoir les enfants, the two protagonists are the best children I ever worked with. You know, they're more than actors. They're just great human beings. It was my luck to find them, in a way.
Since the children don't have any acting technique, they're not professional actors, they're very young, do you have to change your directing style to give them a different kind of direction than you'd give an adult actor?
Yes, you have to do that. And that's something that, you know, there's no rule. There's no... you have to really play by ear. But basically, first what I must say is that, you know, the technique of the craft of film acting for children, for some reason, and I'm not the only one to have observed that, the good one, the gifted one, they seem to learn it very, very fast. And actually, at halfway through the shooting, they were just as experienced, it seemed to me, as, people would have been actors, professional actors for 20 years. They would do everything that was required for the camera. They would, you know, I'd never had any problems with them, you know, not knowing their lines or anything like that. I had problem with some of the grown-up actors, but not with the children. And what you gain is when it works, is also an incredible natural that you don't often have with actors.
This is your first French film in over a decade. Why did you make this film in France? Did you feel that this one had to be made in France, since it's set in France and since it's about your youth there?
Well, you know, about three or four years ago, I'd sort of made up my mind that I was going to do it. So at some point, which was in 86, I went back to Paris. I went back to France and I started working on the script. And that was my, you know, my sort of re-entry in the French cinema and working in, you know, in my language, the French language, which was, of course, great for me because after all these years, it was very moving and, in a way, easier. But it's not that I wanted to go back and work in France again, which I did in a way, but it's I went back because I wanted to make Au revoir les enfants. That was really what I had in mind. I was obsessed with it, as I said.
Why had you left France a decade ago?
Well, for lots of reasons. I have many answers. I could just say that I came to make a film called Pretty Baby, and I'd been thinking about it and working on it for several years. And again, at that point, I felt I should do it. So it was taking place in New Orleans. It's I had to come and I had to come here to make it. But then I was always interested in the American cinema. I've always been a great admirer of the, at least in the in the good old days. I think American cinema was the best. And I've always wanted at some point to work here. I was very curious about this country, which I'd visited and known pretty well before I moved here. And so it's sort of, again, it came naturally. I came to make one picture, and I stayed 10 years. I made more pictures. I enjoyed being here. I was always very curious about what was going on in this country. And time has been flying. That's what happened.
You said you really liked American films from the good old days. What were the films that you really liked the most when you were coming of age?
Well, we admired the American cinema for its immediacy. It seemed like, I grew up with two forms of American culture that I still think, the Americans were a little unique about. It was jazz and cinema. It seemed to us that they were means of expression that the Americans were better than Europeans. It might not be true about cinema because there's been some pretty good European films, but we always felt that it had to do with the medium itself, that it was, the Americans were particularly at ease with it. And over the years, I had this incredible admirations for American directors from, I don't know, John Ford to Huston, Preston Sturges, the great comedians. We just, it was like a sort of an addiction for us when I was an adolescent and then when I was in film school and, my first years as a filmmaker.
Well, it must have been really exciting to start making films in the 1950s during the period of the French New Wave when all these really young, exciting directors like yourself were coming of age. And the French cinema was a very intellectual cinema, in addition to, loving the genre films of America. I mean, directors like you and Truffaut and Godard were intellectuals as well. It wasn't really a part of the American tradition of cinema.
There's obviously a contradiction, because in a way, we admired, in Jean-Luc Godard's first feature, Breathless, there's a series of homages to the great American filmmakers. But he's completely an intellectual, and his style and approach to filmmaking is completely different. It's the opposite of Hollywood. So in a way, it was a paradox. But I think we've been really nourished by the American school, and we were intellectuals in the sense that we were the first generation where we decided that film was our medium. The generation before, they would have wanted to be novelists.
Or poets.
Or poets. or playwrights. But for us, cinema was the medium. And actually, through the 60s, it was. It was a very flourishing period for the French cinema. And we sort of took over. And for years, it was really exciting. And we were incredibly young. You know, I made my first feature. I was 24 years old. So that was fun and exciting.
You know, it seems to me maybe the French cinema has changed a little bit. There's so many more French comedies coming out now, kind of sitcom type,
well,
type comedies. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, I have to say that what you see in this country of the French cinema does not necessarily reflect the real production. You see some auteur films like Eric Rohmer or and a lot of comedies, because for some reason the distributors here think it's going to please American audiences, like Three Men and a Cradle, was remade as Three Men and a Baby. And but there is a tradition of personal filmmaking in France, which continues. Frankly, I'm not sure the French cinema is in in a great period. It goes through cycles. The 60s were remarkable. The 80s are certainly not as great. But I have to say that every year they make interesting personal films. A lot of them are not shown here, unfortunately.
You know, it really interests me that you got your start in filmmaking working with Jacques Cousteau, the famous underwater filmmaker and documentary filmmaker. Had you sought him out?
Well, I was in film school, and I was very lucky because one summer he asked the director of the school for an apprentice, and I think I was in the school the only one who could swim, so they picked me, and I really wanted to go. I was interested in documentaries. I was interested in Cousteau's work as a filmmaker, which is very interesting, and so I spent 2 months on the Calypso as an apprentice. And at the end of the summer, Cousteau told me that the man who was in charge of filmmaking with him, his assistant, was leaving because he was getting married. And do you want the job? I was not even 20 years old. I was in the middle of film school, and of course I said yes. How could I refuse? And I knew nothing, you know, but I worked very hard, and I learned about editing, photography. I became an underwater cameraman, and we came up 3 years later with a feature documentary called The Silent World. And Cousteau has been incredibly nice and great class, because he offered me to be the co-director, which he didn't have to do. So I was co-director at the age of 23 of a film which won the Golden Palm at the Cannes Festival. The Oscar for feature documentary was an immense success. And so that was my start, and that was an incredible break for me.
You know, it's almost... I'd almost expect that in one of your movies you would have found an underwater scene with someone wrestling an octopus just to
I've been
just
thinking
to show
about
off your skills there.
For 30 years, but it never happened. I've kept in touch with Cousteau, and he's offered me several times to come back and work with him again, which I would love to do, actually, but it never happened.
Maybe I'm making too much of this, but getting your start in documentary films, did that teach you a certain emotional distance, teach you how to shoot something that was really exciting and compelling without really wringing every bit of emotion out of it?
Well, I don't know. The one thing that it did for me, I got so interested in this kind of direct cinema without a script, just filming... something happening in front of you, I've always found fascinating. And throughout my career, I've kept making personal documentaries about all kinds of subjects. I filmed in India. I film in this country. I made 2 documentaries in the last few years in America. And this has always been a very important part of my work, and very necessary for me to go back to the real world with a camera so I think it has certainly had an influence on my fiction work too, but how to define it, I really don't know. What it probably has helped me to sort of define a style where I'm trying to get from the actors I'm directing the same kind of immediacy that I'm dealing with when I'm shooting documentaries.
You know, one of your feature films really walks the line between documentary and fiction film, and I'm thinking of My Dinner with Andre, which was basically a film about a long dinner conversation between Andre Gregory and Wallace Shawn. It's a wonderful movie, and it seems to me it's one of the most self-effacing movies on your part as a director, because it's a movie that really calls attention in a way to the actors and to the screenplay, and you think, well, this must have been easy to direct. It's just two people at a dinner table talking. But it must have been actually very, very difficult to direct a dinner table conversation and keep it as interesting as you did.
To keep it together, it was actually incredibly difficult. It's one of the, you know, of my directing work that has given me more work. It's been really, because it's the whole point. It was when you said self-effacing, that's exactly what I was trying to do. I didn't want to, certainly not to show off. I just wanted them to be as good as possible. I wanted the conversation to be as interesting as possible. I wanted the whole thing to work, which was a real challenge, because, you know, it seemed absurd to make a film like 2 hours about two characters discussing in a restaurant. So the whole point was at the end that it seemed like I've just been shooting them, and when actually we rehearsed for months. I work with them more than I've ever worked with actors. I think I've directed Wally and Andre Gregory more than I've done ever. And I've done the same thing in a way with Au revoir les enfants, because it was a lot of work, but it's always what I'm trying to do. I hate to show off with the camera. I hate to demonstrate that I'm a good director. I hate to be too present. One of the things I'm proud of with Au revoir les enfants, the last one, is that I think the spectator very, very soon forgets that there is a camera. And there's a lot of people have told me it's almost like a different experience that normally you have when you're watching a film. There's such an immediacy between the actors and what's going on the screen and your own emotions watching it, that it's almost there's nobody in between. Of course, in between there's, you know, the work we've done, but it's meant not to show.
Well, as we mentioned before, Au revoir les enfants is your first French film in a decade. When you went back to France to make it, did you think a lot about how, if at all, your directing and filmmaking techniques had changed since you left France for America?
I don't think it has changed too much. I think what I've learned here is maybe a slightly different sense of rhythm. I suppose what I've done here is more like fine-tuning what I think is my style, which is to always privilege the actors over the camera, and to understand that filmmaking is a very collaborative art, and you work with the crew, but mostly you work with the actors. That's what it's all about. And some of us, including myself, at the beginning of the new wave, we were on a sort of ego trip. We were the first one to claim that the director was everything.
Mm-hmm.
The script was not important. In a way, the actors were, like Hitchcock was saying, actors were objects. I've come back from that 100%. I think now that I keep thinking, and I keep telling my technicians, we're not on the screen. The actors are on the screen, and they're the one who carry the picture. We must help them. We must submit to everything that's going to make their work, which is very difficult, easier. And so that's what I've been trying to do all these years. But here, where the director is not as this sort of egomaniac they often are in Europe, that's maybe one of the things I've learned working here. And I think it's good in a way, because I'm very conscious of my privileges, and being the director, I'm the one who's supposed to make the final decisions. In the case of Au revoir les enfants, I wrote it, I directed it, I produced it. It's completely my work in a way. But the one thing I can say, I think if it works, it's because the people on the screen are great.
We only have a minute left. Two things I want to ask you very quickly. One is, you said you think your rhythm has changed a little since you moved to America. How so?
Well, it's just because when I'm comparing my work here, or even Au revoir les enfants, to a film like La Combe Lucien, La Combe Lucien was much slower. Au revoir les enfants, which is a chronicle, which becomes a tragedy, if you want to simplify, I was just trying to accumulate little, you know, details at the beginning to show what it was to be a child in those years in a school, and you know, there's a lot of that. But I was very preoccupied with to keep the structure sort of flowing, which is something that I suppose I've learned here.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us about your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Taryn.